Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, from verse 8 to 20. Luke chapter 2, from verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. And unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward those with whom he is pleased." Then the angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Thus far the reading.
Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word as we consider it this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we draw near to you, we pray that you would speak to us through your word, that your Spirit would take this word and bring your grace to us in the knowledge and awareness of who our Savior is and what he has done, but also in the truth of this account and the certainty we can have in the coming of Christ for our salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we come this morning to God's Word, we have a few weeks until Christmas, and I'd like to take a few sermons to consider our Christmas witness, our Christmas witness. It's a magnificent time to witness for the meaning of Christmas, because we have this opportunity to make known to those around us what is the significance, what is the importance of the coming of Jesus. And yet we recognize as well it is a busy time. Our time is quickly consumed by plans of breakups and barbecues. We have parties and presents. And so often the question comes, what is the meaning of Christmas? And that's what we have the privilege of witnessing for, of making known, of answering those questions. What do you find meaningful about Christmas? Maybe to ask that of those who were celebrating. What do you find so meaningful about this time of celebration? This morning, we'd like to first of all consider some questions that arise with regard to the significance of Christmas. We live in a world where most people find meaning or try to find truth either by science and confirming facts or by skepticism, doubting everything and hoping by doubting everything to arrive at some form of truth. And in this world where there is science and skepticism, how does what you believe about the coming of Christ speak to those in the world? How can we address the significance that God's Word gives to the meaning of Christmas in a world of science and a world of skepticism? People, by and large, are either curious or dismissive, really, of the significance of Christmas. and fill it with many other activities to try and fill the void. And so it is a great time to witness to the wonder of the birth of Jesus. That's what I'd like us to unpack from God's word and consider this morning as we deal with some of the questions that arise around Christmas. First of all, considering whether it's a myth or just magic. Secondly, the investigation. And thirdly, the conclusion. First of all, a myth or magic. For some, I don't know how many this would be the case for. It's not just in the world, it's even within the church, sadly. What God's word is recounting in Luke 2 and Matthew 1 is just regarded as a myth. It's like a legend. It sounds plausible. Sounds like a good story. Oh, not the specific details, but the general occurrence could possibly have happened anytime, anywhere, couldn't it? A young woman, unexpectedly pregnant. A young man like Joseph stands by her side, doesn't give up. And together, their son becomes an amazing individual. Their son, so committed to his cause that he will die for it. And so people hear that story. It sounds good. It sounds plausible. Maybe it's just been embellished a little bit. It's a common story, and those who regard it as a myth say it's just been tweaked in Scripture with a few enhancements to make it sound almost divine. This is actually, you won't anymore, Jehovah's Witnesses used to come knocking at your door. I've heard recently that they've stopped that endeavor. But if you talk with them, and you will have an opportunity to talk to them, ask them about the birth of Jesus, they will discount the deity of Jesus in this way. They will say, it's just an adaptation. This notion of God coming as man is an adaptation of Greek mythology. But that's not quite accurate. In Greek mythology, it's the gods who are filled with envy and revenge, and who show the worst of themselves, and they force themselves on women to expand their pleasure and their progeny, to have children, to maintain their name. That's Greek mythology. That's not the Scripture account. And this wasn't just tweaked a little bit to make it sound more divine as a result of Greek mythology. None of the gods ever came to suffer and die, to humble themselves and sacrifice themselves for the well-being of those who hated them. That's where the story of the coming of Jesus, the good news that the angels announce, and it is good news, isn't it? You will find born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Here it is, God coming to man with the angelic hosts. It's so much different than a myth, than Greek mythology, than any other story known to man. Others will say, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. It's a bit like magic. It's not a myth, it's magical. It makes us feel good. It makes people do nice things. When we lived in the States, every Christmas that I could remember, we had the Salvation Army bell ringers standing by the entrances to the shops. And every year there'd be a story in the headlines about one shopper in our particular region who would drop a real gold coin into that bucket. And at the end of the day, when they counted up the proceeds, there was that gold coin. Amazing, this anonymous individual has shown it's magical. Oh, isn't Christmas magnificent? It does something splendid for us. We like to hear about. So anything that inspires peace on earth and goodwill toward man, we're willing to applaud and to recognize the magic. And this is a story like that. we're savoring. Now, when you talk with people, they're going to have this notion of Christmas. And our Christmas witness needs to be different. It's a great entrance point to ask, have you thought about the real significance of this story? It's not a matter of myth. It's not a matter of magic. And so let's investigate that. That secondly, the investigation. This is allowed. God's word shows us men who want to investigate, who want to know the truth. The point this morning is to follow the shepherds. Shepherds, you know, were practical people. They were in their fields taking care of their flocks. They knew what worked to protect their sheep. They were practical people. They knew what weapons they needed on hand to use for what animals. They knew when their sheep were sick, what remedies they could use to nurse them back to health. They were those who would always be observing, always watching, because they wanted to be sure that they were doing, that what they were doing worked. And they, like most other people involved in daily work and strenuous labor, didn't want to waste their resources, didn't want to waste their energy, didn't want to do more than they had to. They wanted something that would work, didn't want to waste their time. And the shepherds want confirmation. The angels have announced to them, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And they had the angelic hosts there proclaiming glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And they want to go investigate. When we think about our investigation as part of Christmas witness, one of the things that we're often tempted to say, and it's appropriate, we can say that this is true because God's word reveals it. But to say God reveals it is an expression of faith. Those who doubt the significance of Christ's coming will also doubt the trustworthiness of God's word. But there are other ways that we can confirm this truth. Let's not be afraid of those questions. Let's not be afraid to open up and to sit down shoulder to shoulder with those who say, oh, it's just a myth or it's something magical and that's their meaning for Christmas. Let's not with proud and haughty heart say, oh, you poor soul, you're so misdirected. Let's engage them. Let's talk with them. Let's investigate with them. What we can offer is confirmation of the truth. Yes, we can. We need to challenge the way man thinks about the truth, who determines what is truth, but that doesn't mean we ignore their questions. What verifies an account of a singular event in history? Let's just think about that for a moment as our investigation. What verifies, what confirms a historical event? Think, for instance, of the sinking of the Titanic. Were you there? I haven't met anyone who was. But there were some people who were there, eyewitnesses, who heard and saw and experienced everything that was going on. And so we have the eyewitnesses. There's also accurate records with regard to what happened and how this event occurred. And we regard that as sufficient verification that the account given is true. That yes, the sinking of the Titanic is an actual historical event. Well, that's how we can approach the birth of Jesus as well. We have eyewitnesses. We have the accounts of the shepherds. They started with doubt, but listen to what verse 15 says. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They're still scratching their head. They're astounded. They're amazed. But they're a bit dubious. Is it really true? They're not certain. But that doesn't cause them to stay with their sheep. It makes them go to Bethlehem. Let's confirm this. Let's go and verify this. And they did. Don't be afraid to go and confirm. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph. But listen to this eyewitness confirmation. And when they saw it, verse 17, and when they saw it, what is it? When they saw what the angels had said was actually true, that there was this baby lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths, just as the angels had said, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. When they saw it, that confirmed it. Yes, it is true. And then again, verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. And Luke adds a specific statement, as it had been told them. These are practical people who approach new ideas with doubt and concern. Is it really going to work? Is it really going to be effective? And I think the way the Lord has recorded this account for us through Luke, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, helps us to recognize, helps us to see, and helps us to appreciate this investigation. And I think they include this as Luke writes this. You know, when we first heard what the angels said, we weren't quite sure. But then we went and we saw it. And you know what? It's exactly the way we have been told. An eyewitness tells us the certainty of what had happened. And we know that they published this abroad. They published abroad not only the fact that it happened, but also their doubts with regard to what was going on. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Yeah, we weren't too sure at the beginning. But then we went. We went to Bethlehem. And you know what? It's exactly as we've heard. But there's more about this investigation. That's an eyewitness account. But there's more. Is the records of the account accurate? It's the verifiability. Can we say that Luke is a faithful witness? Now notice Luke's qualifications. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we hear about this. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of these things, things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been told. Luke here is coming as an investigative reporter. Luke is a physician. And as a physician, he was a man trained in investigation, scientific investigation, even if you will, to look at a hypothesis to see whether that's actually going to work. And Luke is saying, I've followed eyewitnesses. I've investigated the record. I've considered all those accounts, and they all fit together and they all merge. And I want you, Theophilus, I want you, lover of God, I want you to know the certainty of everything that's been recorded. There is more than sufficient certainty of what is recorded. It's true. God's word has stood the test of time. But there is one more factor that we must draw for our Christmas witness. Yes, people are going to approach this with doubt. Let's invite them to investigate, to consider this singular significant event, to consider that there are eyewitnesses to this event, to consider that there are faithful records of this event. And we don't need, in conclusion, we don't need to be shattered when people are doubtful or skeptical or curious or questioning. When the early church faced a world that didn't know the events of Christ's incarnation, of Him coming to earth, they went with a defense of the truth that shows what Christ had accomplished. They had another category other than myth or magic. It was the maintaining of the truth, the teaching, the catechizing. It's what Luke refers to Theophilus in verse 4. You may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. And those things that you've been taught, you've been catechized in. It was doctrine and life. The truth of the doctrine and the life that has been handed down. And so we need to recognize that rather than stop simply with engaging myth or magic, our conversation needs to explore one more M. Talk with people about mercy. When their approach is either it's mythical, it's just a story, or it's magical, it does good things, and that's what we appreciate about it. Yeah, but do you recognize the mercy? The mercy that is found in Jesus coming to earth as God. This is a prelude. This incarnation, Christmas, is just a prelude. It's the introduction to one of the most profound, meaningful events in history. His death and His resurrection. Christmas is never designed to be celebrated without the gospel of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. This incarnation and His coming at Christmas inspires joy and happiness and peace and well-being amongst God's people because they know the most significant event would follow. And that's revealed in His name, as we heard, as our assurance of pardon. His name shall be called Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Mercy. Oh, some people will approach myth, some with magic. And we can say, yes, but there's more. Oh, there's so much more. There's the mercy that God looks upon us in our sinful condition and has compassion. His heart breaks to bring deliverance. And it breaks so deeply and so profoundly that He gives His beloved Son. It's this witness that's the most significant thing about Christmas. That Jesus has come to save sinners. Of whom I am the greatest. Mercy. Move the conversations. Strive in the conversations. When people ask questions, when people have curiosities, when they ask you about Christmas, talk about the stories. Talk about the good things that flow. But especially the mercy. It's a recognition that His work is the most meaningful part of our lives. That His coming is the source of good news that the angels sang about and which causes us to worship, to sing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. To go on our way worshiping because of mercy. And let this shape and fashion us into people who know the significance and witness to the meaning of Christmas. Amen.